Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Dr. Cappuccino Show. I know we're off an hour or so, but we have great things to bring to you. You know, there's so much going on in the world. And, you know, this show is dedicated to truth and no fiction here. This is a show that you can learn what, especially as God, of course, but what we really want to put out there on the table is that this misery that you see and all the chaos that you see and all of the distraction, there is a way out of that. So we already know when we do not have a voice, we have no power, and then when we have no choice of matters of the heart or conscience, everybody should be concerned. And we really should be concerned because our youth and millennials, they have a different agenda than our foreparents and ourselves. And they said it. It really is not good. What is the cure-all for the dissatisfaction in life and in others that has engulfed our world and have led us to throw up our hands and say yes to dangerous doctrine, problem goals, and then all that to solve as humanity of the next generation? What do we do? Is this the way of our creator? Well, we have some people calling in, and guess what? By popular request and demand, we have Reverend Dr. Colonel Harrison with us again for this show. You guys have asked for him, so here he is again. Dr. Harrison, you're on the line.
Yes, I am, Dr. Cappuccino. Good afternoon to you. Thank you so much for inviting me to the show again, and good afternoon to your listening audience.
Well, I'm telling you, they're saying, Colonel Harrison, show us the way. So thank you so much for taking your time out this afternoon. You know, we're off schedule, as I mentioned earlier. Next week, we will be back at the 8 a.m. slot. But we have a topic here that I'm sure everyone is interested in. And many people are saying, well, my God, children are running this world. Should we fear them? Should we be afraid of what they're talking about? Is what they're talking about beneficial? I mean, are they able to lead not only themselves, but the world at large? They seem to think so. And if you have a question, if you want to say hello to Dr. Harrison, just feel free to jump in there. But Dr. Harrison, we're concerned here on the West Coast. What is your take on these youth, children, 10 and 11, talking about they're going to kill everybody up if they don't stop participating with the NRA? You have 8-year-olds bringing guns to school now. They're so fearful. What can we do with children that have decided they will stand up and run this world?
Well, Dr. Cappuccino, if I may try to define the youth of today, particularly with respect to millennial youth or millennial age youth, they're called Generation Y, and they are the youth that were born during the early 1980s up until the year of 2000. Their outlook on life is different than mine and yours and some of the listening audience who perhaps were baby boomers. These kids think differently and they act differently. The danger of the thinking they're bright, and we embrace that and we compliment that and acknowledge it. But I was just looking over some statistics. 55% of the millennial youth have children out of wedlock. And now the problem with that is when they later get married, not only does it cause a moral problem with respect to spirituality and intellect, but it causes a financial burden because having children before one get married or establish or have a job or whatever, then they're operating sort of behind the eight ball. And so it affects us morally with respect to the client and family, number one. Number two, the institution of marriage not being valued, and number three, adulthood. A lot of them haven't reached the age of maturation or an age of understanding and responsibility. So I just want to say that and pause for now and give you a chance to interject.
Well, if I could interject things, you know, here on the West Coast, a lot happens here, especially when it comes to the millennial group. It says that whatever happens in this state in California, every other state tends to follow. Every other state tends to adopt whatever California has to put on the table. And here you have, Marlena, you have youth that are surfing on couches by day and by night. You have a 67%, almost 70% of millennials out of work. They're brilliant. Some of them are very bright, but some of them are out of work. They don't have a job that they can look forward to, and they live their life on laptops and their cell phones. So we're trying to figure out here on the West Coast, what are they doing? What are their goals? What are they looking forward to? What is their mission in life? What is their vision? And most of them, if you ask them, they would tell you they don't know. But they do have this in common. When it comes to standing down on things that they should stand up for, such as humanitarian action, philanthropy, volunteerism, many of them are not volunteering like we did. Many of them are not saying, you know, I am my brother's keeper, like we did, our generation. Many are not even looking to go around the homes of the elderly and try to assist them before their demise. So we're wondering here on the West Coast, what are they doing and why? What are they not doing and why aren't they doing it? So we're very concerned with them being very vocal, and with them also, right now, there's something going on here in our state where they're talking about not allowing Bibles in or something of that sort. And then they were saying that the millennials now, almost 75% of them support abortion. Well, we're just talking about, 15, 16, 17-year-olds, maybe into the early 20s. They're supporting that. And it used to be a time with us, we were marching for life. We were marching for order, law and order for everyone, peace for everyone. But to find millennials talking about that they support abortion rights at any term, that's very scary, because what it means is that they went full charge and in full control, we'd be in a big problem.
Yes, Doc. Well, Doc, we live how we were raised from infancy to puberty, right on up to early adulthood. If the moral foundation is not established in the child or children at an early age, then the outcome of what you just shared with me and the listening audience is the result of the breakdown in the moral fiber. They don't think. They're not mature. They don't have the wisdom. And wisdom comes ultimately comes from God, but wisdom comes from years of experience, life experiences, and wisdom is the quality of being wise. And one can't be wise when they're young and of age, and they haven't had any teaching, so that they can learn certain principles and certain values. They don't think that if by embracing abortion, had we embraced abortion, they wouldn't have been born. They don't think
that
way.
That's right.
It appears that they are more reactive than they are logical thinkers, and so we have done an injustice to the millennials, because some parents have not been responsible parents to give their children the foundational principles that many of the elders grew up with, that has sustained us and kept us. Youth learn from elders. We learn from our elders. The millennials have to learn from us, and they're not willing to do that. A lot of them are going to perish. There's no doubt about it. They're on a path of destruction, and somehow we got to get out there and beat the drum to try to turn this thing around through your radio talk show and other mediums to try and turn this around, because they're thinking it will not lead to success. It'll lead to destruction. So that's one of the problems. They are living what they have not been taught. And they are living what they have basically learned. And some of them have winged it on their own, a single-parent household with no responsibility and no discipline and no accountability, and they were able to go and come as they please. And the end result is what we have in society now for the most part.
Well, let's talk about parents, because what you've said is a mouthful, and you're right on target. But why don't the parents of some of these millennial youth stand out. They have got to know that the course their youth and their millennial child is on is not good. It hasn't resulted in anything good. It's resulted in a worldwide dissension on things such as milk being artificial now to the gun control issue. Why don't the parents come forward? What is their problem?
The problem is there's a lot of accountability and responsibility. Why would I, you or anyone else have children, Doc, want to bring forth children in the world and not, number one, take care of them properly and provide for them, number two, teach them certain moral principles to be law-abiding citizens, to be successful and so forth and so on. I'm reminded of a scripture, if I may draw on this, in the book of Proverbs, King Solomon, the wisest and wealthiest man that ever lived back around the 8th century, he said in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not. If we don't train our children at an early age, racehorses are trained, dogs are trained, other animals are trained for circus activity and so forth and so on, horses to run the races and so forth and so on. We humans train to participate in athletic events and contests. Why can't we train our children up the way they should go and they'll be better law-abiding citizens? We'll have a more wholesome, healthy, and morally sound society for everyone to live in.
But that's not happening. We don't see that. Of course, they're not taking them to church anymore. They're not sending them there. They're just allowing them to drift up 8, 9, 10, 12 noon, get up out of bed and start walking around looking for food. They're not doing that. And most of the modern day parents are not even in the home to train them. You have two parents, if that, in most homes, and everybody's gone all day long. People are saying the homes are only inhabited for about six hours a day. No one's training them. I think we have to look at the parenting issue as to why some of these youth have come up as they are. It's as if the parents are saying, you know what, whatever you say, I don't care. Just go on up and just try not to get killed. Try not to get shut down. Whatever you do, maybe it will work, maybe it won't. So it appears that they're not really holding themselves accountable for exactly what a youth is doing. Everyone is talking about them. You have some saying, yeah, you know what they're doing in Parkland, you know, it's okay. But it's not okay. Look at the chaos that has been brought in the division. Why don't the parents do their job? What's wrong with the parents taking care of what they have in their own household?
Well, the parents, many of them, I think not many, but some dog has fallen by the wayside. Not only are they living their own selfish lifestyles, but some of them are suffering from alcohol addiction, illegal drug addiction, legal prescription addiction, and so they're using that as a scapegoat to get away from their troubles and their problems and their trials and tribulation and their children, excuse me, and the suffering in the household because they have very little interaction with them. And that's another thing that I found from a law enforcement perspective, that kids have drifted from the home and gone out and been embraced by various gangs because these gangs will let them in, that they will embrace them and give them the impression that they love them, when in essence they're just using them as a pawn. And so kids cleave or gravitate toward people or things or gangs that they think that love them and will embrace them and take care of them. So the parents fall short of the mark. And when the parents fall short of the mark, society falls short of the mark. And that's why we're having instability in the country today, because the parents have fallen truly short of the mark in terms of their overall responsibility as parents. They probably have the ability to do it, but they aren't doing it. And so enough of parents are not doing what they ought to in terms of instilling moral principles and having a handle on their children. Sometimes you got to use the rod and not spare the rod and spoil the child. And we're not having enough of that. So the child raised themselves, and the result we get is a child out here that's wild, undirected, misled, and end up getting in trouble or involved in some chaos in society.
Well, Well, you know, it ends up being just a vicious cycle, because if you have these people in the household that is not honoring their mother, father, they're not obeying them, they see them an hour a week, then there's no one from an authority standpoint to teach them to honor and respect and obey authority. And this is why we're seeing on the West Coast almost one cop killing a day.
Well, I was taught when I came along, my mom had seven children, four girls and three boys, to be responsible, be respectful, be law-abiding, respect our elders, do good in school, bring home good school grades, always present yourself in a nice way, keep your clothes clean, learn to speak in a way that people will understand you, and those kinds of things. And my mother only had like an elementary grade education, but she was a lady, a principal in Pride, and my dad worked a lot, but was an electrician and so forth. Mom was a housewife, but it doesn't seem that we have the same caring. We don't have the same. We haven't passed the same principles on to our youth that were passed on to those of us who are older. Up in age, 50 years of age, 40, 50 years of age and older, those same tenets, those same principles, those same morals have to be passed down through families from generation to generation. Not only that, so that we can sustain ourselves as a society and as humanity. And as humanity break down, then the life expectancy shortens. So it has a reciprocal effect overall, affecting not only the elders of the youth, but the youth and the elders.
Hello?
Yeah, Doc, I'm still here.
Yeah, did you hear me? Yeah, I thought I lost you. We kind of dropped out of there. But now, here, I'm going to just jump in here for a moment. You have grandparents,
sure.
Too. They don't seem to be any better. When they looked around and they saw mom and dad was failing the family, guess what happened? They stepped in there. They said, here, go on, do what you got to do. I'm here. I'm going to see that my grandkids get some hot meals. I'm going to see that they get the cookie and the milk at night. I'm going to see that their homework is done. I'm going to see that they have a bath at 7 o'clock. What has happened to grandma and grandpa? They don't seem to care either.
The reason we're having a problem with grandmothers, because the grandmothers are coming younger. The older grandmothers, because the millennials are having children at a younger age and earlier age. So the old wise grandmother that once was is no longer around. And so the wisdom that she has is no longer available to be imparted. So we have younger grandmothers, just a few years older than the millennials, and that are having children, and so we really don't have anyone that can teach and pass certain principles on to them, and we have a society that's almost in chaos because the moral fabric of society has been tainted because the principles, the values, the norms, the standards of society, again, are being lost. Because it's not being passed on. And so we have what we have in the millennia because they were victims in a sense of not having to be beneficiaries of the standards that we have received.
Oh, my God. So from what I'm hearing, children attempting to run the world, you, millennial gangs, what I'm hearing is that, number one, we possibly know the answer here. We know they are not the fit. They're not fit. They're conscious. They don't have the experience to try to run themselves. You know, there's a scripture. Since you went there, I'm going to go there too, God.
Okay.
It says that in Jeremiah, 10th chapter, 23rd verse, that it does not belong to man who is walking upon the earth to direct the step. Now, it didn't say you, old, young, for it just said it does not belong to a man. So we already know from the scripture that self-governance, self-direction tactics, none of that works because we need a high call has been put within us by the Spirit of a living God, and that is our directive, but we're not looking there. Grandma, I just heard you say they're not looking there. Grandpa, possibly not, and no one is manning the house. So based on what you just said, children attempting to run the world is not going to be able to do it. The millennials don't have the answer. If our president of the United States is cussing and struggling, trying to hold America together with all of his degreed and highly educated academic team, then how in the world could we turn anything over to these young people and say, okay, you know, well, we tried it. I think we failed. I don't know the answer either. Read the newspaper. You see no one has the answer. Go out there. From what we've discussed on this show, children running the world, it's not a good idea. It's not going to work. It never has in the past, and it never will here in the future. So should we fear what they're saying? Should we be very concerned about what they are doing?
Yes, we should be concerned about what they're saying and what they're doing. And I think, Doc, one step further, as you said, the president and those around him are trying to figure out an approach to address this particular concern. I think we all have to go back to the drawing board. We may very well have to open up learning centers within the respective communities throughout the state, across the country, because somehow, somewhere, these principles got to be taught again. And if not, if man doesn't have, a woman doesn't have principles, doesn't have values, don't have virtues, don't have laws, then they eventually end up destroying themselves. Ultimately, that's what happened. If we go back in history about 6,000 years ago, according to my studies about the first book of the Bible, Genesis, ultimately in chapter 8, man ended up destroying himself because they lost their moral fiber, they lost their moral principles, they lost their moral virtues, and the world was in chaos, and their thoughts and actions and their hearts were continually evil. So the God of the universe fought forth a gigantic, a titanic flood upon the earth that destroyed all life that was on the earth except one family, a man named Noah, his wife, his three sons, and his three daughter-in-laws. So we got to turn this thing around. If we, those of us who believe, those of us who have morals and values and believe in principles and virtue, somehow we got to start looking direction. Maybe gathering these kids and pointing them toward learning centers and make these learning centers without cost so that we can teach them these things so they'll be able to carry society and their children, teach their children, carry society into the next generation and the next generation. And each generation should get better. Now we have a generation that appears to be morally getting worse.
Especially when you have this generation talking about it, lyric and song, dance, music, kill the pig, kill the cop. You know, they started this type of talk in the 60s, 1960s, 70s, and they're back at it again. And as I said, our LAPD, where we're here on the West Coast, is really looking at this matter very seriously and more seriously than ever, because they have already had, and you're their chief, so you know what I'm talking about. They've already said 1,000 prayers before they step out of their home. Now, you know, they're saying that they're cruising more than ever on the streets of L.A. because there's so much going on. So if Los Angeles has anything to really talk about, they need to really be talking about how we're going to put a damper on all this crime. Now, you also mentioned that there was a schooling of something. And you said we need to have some kind of a return to that where skills are actually taught again. But where is that money coming from for something like that when obviously it's not seen as a solution?
It may not be seen as a solution, but at least it's an action, and it's a worthy action to pursue. Because if we don't pursue some action, then eventually the youth will end up not only turning on themselves in a violent way, but possibly also turning on elders. And we don't need that. They don't know. They have not learned. They have not been taught. Then the responsibility of the adult society, mature society, the law-abiding society, is to see about the medium and getting some type of catalyst in place where these kids can be taught these principles. And if not, we are going to continually not only morally decline, but mankind could possibly eradicate themselves through violence.
Wow, you certainly seem to have the answers. And, you know, I'm sitting here just, oh, my goodness, yes. And, you know, this man has really got his pulse on the solution, which brings me to your book. You've written a book. It's been out for a couple of years, and it addresses some of these things we are talking about. But before we talk about your book, Dr. Colonel Harrison, how can the listeners get in touch with you if they so desire?
They can reach me via Facebook, just William Harrison in Temple Hills, Maryland, via Twitter, Raptor underscore Harrison on Twitter. And if they want to reach me via, I gave you Facebook, I gave you the book. Oh, email is wharri1943@aol.com. wharri1943@aol.com. I can be reached through any of those mediums.
Well, you know, a lot of our listeners are afraid to talk to cops. They don't want to talk to cops. You're an ex-cop. You know, lots going on in the community about cops being dirty, so forth and so on. So I'm thinking that your book that you have written, it's just a beautiful, knowledgeable book, but it's not understanding of a cop with a little bit of information about you being also a full-time minister. And I salute you for that, because here on the West Coast, our churches are closing up every week. Pastors are going up on drinking binges. Not all of them. We still have some solid ones. But we're experiencing a low, very low turnout when it comes to church on Sunday.
Now, we've got
a couple of minutes for you to explain how we can handle that here on the West Coast. Go for it.
My recommendation, Doc, would be that you contact those pastors who are still morally sound and have community meetings with them, the citizens involved, talk about the need for the community church, the importance of the community church, and for the people to return to the church. Rather than churches closing down, we truly need more churches to be built now, because churches have always been the moral standard or the moral bearer of society, standard bearer of society, and it doesn't pertain to any particular denomination. It's just the church is the standard. It's a standard bearer where morals are taught, and then people can go there and they can learn and they can grow in their faith, and they can form alliances and fellowship and brotherhood and sisterhood and have hope. So we got to return to giving people hope instead of despair. So I would suggest to pastors who are active be mobilized to in that regard, ma'am.
My goodness, thank you. That's a very good idea. You know, some are saying they've had ample opportunity to really build America for God, return America to God, make God great again. They've certainly had enough time to do that. So you're saying an alliance, and a new alliance of getting the pastors together with the other. And since you're saying that, we have 60 seconds to go. Next week we're going to, and I hope you're going to be back on the show, but I think we're going to talk about church attendance and what's really happening to churches, and are they redeemable? Do people think they're still relevant? And if so, what are they doing now? Thank you so much, Dr. Harrison, again, for being on the show. Now, if you're not out of town, check in again next week. We thank you so much.
I will. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, listeners, that's it. We'll see you at 8 a.m. next Saturday. Thank you for tuning into the Dr. Cappuccino Show. Have a great weekend.